We're going to be in James chapter 3 this afternoon.
James chapter 3. We are so very proud of all of our graduates. It was a blessing to be able to have an opportunity to celebrate them this afternoon. And we're, you know, we all, as their family, are proud of all of them. And I don't want to diminish the graduation of any of our graduates. But there was one in particular that we got to hear from a little bit at the graduation, and I just wanted to talk about that for just a second. I told Emily that I would not say much about her because I didn't want her to beat me up afterwards. But she did get to do the salutatorian speech, and I just, as after that, I was just thinking that that's kind of an interesting reward, isn't it? Like you get the second best grades in the class, so now you get to do the thing that most people are, you know, have the greatest fear of in their entire life. It's just strange. But she could do it. And that's kind of the thought that I latched on is that she could do it, although some people would absolutely say, no, I can't do that. And so many people would be afraid to do it. She could. And one of the things that I guess what I wanted to bring out in this lesson is that we can do it. And by that, I mean we can do some pretty great and important and encouraging things with our speech, even though sometimes it's a hard thing to do, even though sometimes we're very scared to do it. We can do it. On the flip side of that, we can do some very easy things that are not difficult to do. In fact, they cause a lot of difficulties with our tongue, and that is one of the, and that is what James brings out here in James chapter 3. James says in verse 1, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits in the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, they are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The tongue can be a destructive thing. The tongue and the things that we say can set things aflame is what the description that is given here. Whether that is, you know, false teachings, whatever they may be, whether that is outbursts of anger, whether that is the whisper of gossip, whatever it is, speech can destroy. And it can destroy, I mean, you name it, it can destroy friendships and relationships, and it can destroy the opportunities that we have with people and people outside the church, and it can destroy unity, it can destroy so many things. We can say a lot of wrong things, and it can do a lot of damage. James 3 and verse 7, "For every species of beasts and birds and of reptiles and of creatures of the sea, they are tamed and has been tamed by the human race, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." The tongue can poison. The things that we say can poison. It can weaken. You know, the thing, what can come to mind whenever we are talking with someone, whenever we, you know, have a disagreement with someone or whatever it may be, the thing that may come easiest to our mind is the thing that can absolutely hurt that person the most. And we can say those things. And congratulations if we do. I mean, what good does that do? And, I mean, it's kind of like poison. It's like, unless you're using it for like mice or something like that, poison's not. I mean, you can use it on a human being, but then, I mean, there'd be consequences to that. And there are consequences when we use, when we don't control the things that we say as well. James 3 and verse 9, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and curse. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. The tongue can bring out bitterness. The tongue can bring out resentment. We can do that. We can do all of these things. But I emphasize what James said. My brethren, it ought not to be that way. Just like you can take the flame out of the pasture and you can put it in, you know, an oven, or you can put it in the fireplace, and you can take something that is so destructive to humankind, you can turn it to something that benefits others and helps others and is good for others. And we can do the same thing with our tongues. James is not presenting this to us as you can't control your tongue. And the entire Bible shows us that we can, that we can seek the Lord's help to do that. And with our tongue, we can do some of the really most helpful things that we can do for each other. It can quench the flame. It can strengthen people. It can bring joy to people. Two verses, Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We see that the harsh word stirs up anger, but we can turn away wrath and the flame. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Not mincing words here. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Think about that. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. The differences that are set beside here is we can build or we can destroy. Sometimes destruction is good, but we're not talking about a dilapidated building. We're talking about the Lord's church. We can help be builders of God's great family, of God's great church. In fact, we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 11, He gave some as apostles and some as prophets, some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to a measure of stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is what we can do. We can encourage each other. We can strengthen one another. We can show love to one another with the things that we say. And you know what? Sometimes that's difficult. Sometimes that is the difficult thing to do. And sometimes, you know, maybe we may be scared to do that in some situations. It's not for everybody, but it is for us. We who are God's people, we who Christ has given His life for. And one of the thoughts that I latched onto in this section in James, he says the tongue can boast of such great things. What is it that we can boast about? What is it that we have in our life that we can boast about? Well, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, but by His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. We can boast in Christ Jesus. That is what we can boast on in our lives. We don't brag about ourselves. We don't raise ourselves up. We don't put ourselves on a podium. We do that all for Christ Jesus. But that does not mean that our lives are not worth something. And that doesn't mean that we don't have worthy lives. A Christ-like life, is a life to be proud of and is worth something and is worth boasting about. But just like, you know, the valedictorians and the salutatorians, they don't have to say, you know, look at me, I got the best grades in the class, or whatever it is. They don't have to boast about it. You know, wherever they're standing, that speaks for itself. We could boast about, if we live our life, the life that's portrayed here, encouraging one another, strengthening each other, using our tongue the way that the Lord has given us our tongue to use it for, that would end up with a life that's worth boasting about. And we could talk about how much good that we have done others. We could point at our life and see, look how much building I have done instead of tearing down. But where we stand at the end of this life, our place next to our Father in heaven, and hearing these words, Matthew 25, verse 34, come you who are blessed of my Father and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We could boast about our life, but that is going to say all that we need about us. If you this afternoon need to answer the gospel, if you need to be saved and be baptized into our Lord, or if you need any prayers of the congregation, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.